You're listening to SBS News.
Fellow Australians, it is my melancholy duty to inform you officially that in consequence of a persistence by Germany in her invasion of Poland, Great Britain has declared war upon her, and that as a result, Australia is also at war.
That's Sir Robert Gordon Menzies, who was born in Victoria on the 20th of December 1894. He became Australia's longest-serving Prime Minister, holding the position twice, from 1939 to 1941 and from 1949 to 1966, a total of 18 years and 5 months. His first term as Prime Minister commenced in 1939 under the now-extinct United Australia Party, as the threat of war was growing in Europe. One of the founders of the Liberal Party in 1944, he was also a strong advocate of the 1901 Immigration Restriction Act, more commonly known as the White Australia Policy.
As long as we possibly can, we ought to aim at having a homogeneous population. I don't want to see reproduced in Australia the kind of problem they have in South Africa, or in America, or increasingly in Great Britain. I think it's been a very good policy, and it's been of great value to us.
Another major political figure, Malcolm Fraser, was Liberal leader and Prime Minister from 1975 until 1983. He benefited directly from one of the country's most notorious political events. As opposition leader, he had blocked the passing of Labor Prime Minister Gough Whitlam's budget bills through the Senate in October and November 1975. That led to Governor-General Sir John Kerr withdrawing Mr. Whitlam's commission as Prime Minister on the 11th of November and installing Mr. Fraser as interim Prime Minister.
There will now be an election as the Constitution requires. The great defence of our democracy is that the Constitution must be upheld. The Australian people will have their say. The choice is theirs at the ballot box.
Mr. Fraser won by a huge majority. And while Mr. Fraser was economically conservative, he was considered quite progressive socially. His government continued and extended Labor-initiated reforms, such as the Family Court. It established the Special Broadcasting Service and declared parts of the Great Barrier Reef as marine park. Meanwhile, it was another Liberal who became Australia's longest-serving Prime Minister, John Howard, who was Prime Minister from 1996 to 2007, brought in tough gun laws following the Port Arthur massacre, abolished the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Commission, and created Australia's offshore processing system for asylum seekers.
It's about this nation saying to the world, we are a generous, open-hearted people, taking more refugees on a per capita basis than any nation except Canada. We have a proud record of welcoming people from 140 different nations. But we will decide who comes to this country and the circumstances in which they come.
John Howard also committed Australia to the United States-led wars in Iraq and Afghanistan after the September 11 terrorist attacks. But the stability of the Menzies and Howard eras fell apart in the years since Mr. Howard lost the 2007 election to Kevin Rudd's Labor Party. That election triggered a period in Australian political history of unstable leadership for both major parties. It was Tony Abbott who led the coalition back into government in September 2013.
In 3 years' time, the carbon tax will be gone. The boats will be stopped. The budget will be on track for a believable surplus. And the roads of the 21st century will finally be well underway.
But Mr. Abbott was deposed as party leader and Prime Minister, not at an election, but in a leadership challenge by Malcolm Turnbull in September 2015. Mr. Turnbull himself lost the Liberal leadership and his job as Prime Minister after another leadership challenge in August 2018.
Australians will be just dumbstruck and so appalled by the conduct of the last week. You know, to imagine that a government would be rocked by this sort of disloyalty and deliberate insurgency is the best way to describe it, deliberate destructive action.
The challenge by Home Affairs Minister Peter Dutton led to two leadership spills. Mr Turnbull won the first against Peter Dutton, but didn't stand in the second, and Treasurer Scott Morrison defeated Mr Dutton to become the Liberals and Australia's third Prime Minister in less than two terms of government, the nation's seventh since 2007.
If you have a go in this country, you'll get a go. There's a fair go for those who have a go. That's what fairness in Australia means.
And it was Mr Morrison who led the coalition to victory in the election campaign against the Labor Party, led by Bill Shorten in 2019. Polls and pundits all backed a Labor win, and there were suggestions that Prime Minister Scott Morrison couldn't overcome the damage done to the Liberal Party's reputation by its leadership turmoil. But Mr Morrison and the Liberal Party proved everyone wrong, with the electorate failing to warm to Mr Shorten, who had led the Labor Party for 6 years. It was a sweet victory for Mr Morrison.
I have always believed in miracles. And tonight we've been delivered another one. How good is Australia?
Since Mr Morrison was elected, the party has experienced tensions within its own ranks on issues such as same-sex marriage and climate change. Dr Peter Chen is a senior lecturer in the Department of Government and International Relations at the University of Sydney. He says historically the Liberal Party is an interesting combination of a number of different currents in Australian society that date back to the early part of the 20th century.
The Liberal Party has this tradition that on certain issues, individual MPs can vote on their conscience and don't have to follow a party position. So that is a way that they've managed that fragility, that tension. But I think certainly we have seen that there is a big distance, I think, between the social conservatives and, you know, the moderates within the party. And I think we're seeing that play out to some extent with the explosion of these climate-focused independent candidates like Sally Ziegel and people like that. On paper, many of those candidates would probably be Liberals. They would run as progressive Liberals, and that they're not running as part of that party shows that there is this fundamental, you know, problem that they're having within the party to resolve this key issue around climate, for example.
Dr. Chen says the party has always managed having big divisions within its ranks since its formation in 1944. And while he does not see it as a terminal problem, he says it's something the party needs to manage, along with questions about leadership and party unity in the lead up to the next election and beyond.
One of the things that's been getting a lot of coverage recently is obviously attacks on the integrity and honesty and behaviour of the Prime Minister. And we do live in a what we sometimes call a presidentialised system. We don't have a president, but the Prime Minister is a much more important figure in our political landscape in recent decades for a variety of reasons. And so attacks on the leader of the figure can be quite damaging to the party overall. So I think those things about credibility and party unity are going to be a major thing for the Liberals to deal with leading into the election, and they've only got a few weeks to resolve that.
Peggy Giacomelos, SBS News.